Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11 right here on the Fan. I am extra excited because I believe we actually get to do crosstalk today after a while. It has been way too long since I've had the opportunity to talk to Mitch, so I think we're going to get that opportunity today. Looking forward to that at the end of our show here on Pack-A-Day Radio today. But joining us right now, Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, is Pete Doherty, PackersNews.com, Packers writer, columnist, and just absolutely genius when it comes to all things Green Bay Packers. Pete, it's great to be talking to you. How are you doing, my friend?
Pretty good, Andy. How are you today?
I am fantastic. I hope you are. Did you get what's your sort of routine training camp on a Wednesday day off when there's no practice?
I actually, just have just the usual normal stuff. I take my dog to the dog park and I'll get a workout in. And Sterling Sharp's going in the Hall of Fame this weekend, so I'm going to be writing a column about him today. Look back at his career, and also that my surprise that I'm still just stunned that Mike Holmgren didn't get in. I thought he had the strongest case of the five guys who were in his group as finalists.
Yeah, it would have been nice to get Mike in as well. It would have been really cool if Sterling and Mike could have gone in the same class as well. But maybe just another chance to get another Packers name in next year, I guess, with Sterling this year and hopefully Mike next year. But yeah, he was more than deserving. Hopefully that can get remedied sooner rather than later. But great to see Sterling Sharp get in. I know sometimes those longevity things, it's a little bit tough. But you can see that they're maybe having a little bit more forgiveness for some of these players that, you know, careers got cut short due to injury. And man, Sterling, I still remember that NFC period where it was, what, Jerry Rice, Michael Irvin, Sterling Sharp, Chris Carter, those were kind of the main four. Rob Moore was in that conversation for a little bit as well. But man, Sterling, you know, was right there and you know, going toe-to-toe statistically with, you know, the Jerry Rices of the world. He was so fun to watch and just unfortunate that the different injuries kind of derailed that career. But man, him and Brett playing together in those opening years of Brett's career was so, so dang fun to watch.
Yeah, Sharp put up huge numbers. It's funny. I remember my first season on the beat was 93. I was here in 92, so I saw all those games on TV. But my first year on the beat was 93. And after that season, I think it was in the at like a mini camp in the off season or something, I was talking to Gil Haskell, who he had a couple different jobs on Holmgren's offensive staff. And I was asking about the offense. He goes, you know, basically the offense is Brett drops back, finds Sharp, and throws it to him as hard as he can. And it was true, you know. I mean, the guy caught, like 108 passes one season and 112 the next one. And, you know, while Favre was going through all his growing pains, you know, he had all that raw talent, and he knew Sharp could get open and catch the ball. So he would fire it to him anywhere and everywhere.
It's amazing how sometimes that safety valve, just player that you can go to in key moments and just trust, can get a young quarterback through some of those moments where you might not know the exact thing to do on a play, or, you know, some of your checks, your cadence, your audibles, all that stuff might still be developing. And but when you've got a player like that you can drop back and be like, all right, I don't know exactly what we're supposed to do here, but I know Sterling Sharp's down there somewhere. And having that, I think that was huge for Brett. And then of course his career was able to just kind of explode from there. But having that as sort of your safety valve and safety blanket when you needed it, that I think was huge for Brett to begin with.
Yeah, a little different than what they're looking at right now, where the talent is much more even, and they don't have that one guy who's just way above everybody else. Although, you know, I mean, as anybody who's been out of practice has seen, they got an interesting looking guy in Matthew Golden. You know, I don't know if he'll end up being a number one down the road, but there does appear to be some real ability there.
Yeah, there certainly does. And like you said, whether he ends up being a number one or whatever that looks like, I mean, certainly it's not hard to see that the talent is there. And, you know, what you kind of want to see when you draft a wide receiver round one is you want to see that proof of concept early and often. And he certainly provided that as of late. Of course, the two big plays yesterday, one in individuals and then one, you know, the 54, 60 yard or whatever it was in team drills as well. And it seems like he's starting to make more of these plays every day as days go on in training camp. He has been very impressive so far, and certainly seems like he can add a different element to this offense.
Yeah, the thing that, you know, I know you know more about the technical stuff, the route running and all that than I do, but the one thing that, you know, is pretty easy to see is two things. One, he plucks the ball.
Yes.
He reaches out with his hands, and he catches it. I think he's only got the one drop, which turned into an interception a couple days ago. I think he's caught everything else that's hit his hands, at least in the team drills. And the other thing is, when his feet, after he catches it, when his feet hit the ground, he is turning and cutting or getting upfield. I mean, it's instantaneous. And that's how I think that's a big factor in turning, you know, catches into, you know, a lot of yards after catch into big plays. I remember, seeing that with Cobb way back. And I think this guy is like that, but you know, I think he's a little more explosive and a little quicker. Those are the two things that have jumped out to me about him so far.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. That play he had a couple days ago where he juked Gregory Jr. and then Tyron Hopper in the open field. Just the ability to not only have that idea to cut back and then cut back again, but the ability to make that cut and then explode out of those cuts and just have immediate speed after it. That's where that 4.240 shows up. It's not one of these players that it takes some, 10, 15 yards to get to that 4.240 speed. It's just there immediately. It's a very special trait, and that's going to help him a ton out of those cuts and breaks in his route, but certainly after he catches the ball as well and is able to make some people miss and use that unbelievable speed for yards after the catch. What have you thought, Pete, as we're beginning again, joined by Pete Doherty, PackersNews.com. You can find him on social media at Pete Doherty. What have you thought of Jordan Love's performance through 6 days of training camp so far?
I would say it's been fine. It's been, pretty decent, pretty good. There haven't been a lot of wow plays. He had the one where he broke the pocket to his left and threw across the field. I think it was to Wicks, maybe?
Yep.
A long touchdown. And he's had a lot of, good, you see the backups make throws, and then you see him, and the difference is huge.
Sure.
So he has a lot of good throws. He's missed a couple. He had the really bad interception the other day where LaFleur said Hopper had his back to Love when he threw it. It was something over the middle, a little bit downfield, and that by the time he'd released it, Hopper turned around, the ball hit him right in the chest. So he's had a couple bad decisions. But he does look more in command to me. I'm curious to know what you think, because you and I haven't talked about this out at practice. But so I don't know if you're seeing some issues that raise any red flags to you. But he does look he looks really in command to me. He looks comfortable, a little more comfortable than last year. He's really comfortable in the locker room doing interviews too. So I don't know. I think he looks pretty good. There hasn't been a ton of just oh wow plays, but I think he's been pretty good.
Pete, I could not have said that better myself. If I were to try to define it, I would have defined it. I would have tried to do as well as you just did. I'm right there with you. I don't think it's been anything spectacular, but I think he's been good, solid, steady. I do feel like I mentioned this even back in mini camp of like, there's definitely, it feels like there's a different aura about him of just, he feels like a veteran for the first time. It really feels like he just has complete command of everything. He's in control, very calm, cool, and collective. And just everything that he does feels like it has purpose. It was a very weird feeling of like, oh my God, we're already in year six, year three as a starter. And he really does feel like he's in total command out there. Like you said, the interception the other day to Hopper was one, and Matt LaFleur, said that, yep, that can't happen. I thought there's been like the play to Xavier McKinney. I'm more willing to tip my hat just to Xavier McKinney. I thought McKinney made a unbelievable play on that ball yesterday, but we're seeing some big time throws. We're seeing him have command out there. And I would actually probably say that I think some of the, more just, I wouldn't even say lack of consistency, but maybe the lack of the big plays and just some things like that is more just the offense kind of getting in rhythm and just kind of everyone working together than it's anything on Jordan. So no, we are pretty much complete in lockstep from what we've seen from number 10 so far.
Yeah, I think kind of what you said there, Mike, if you just want to sum it up in one sentence, is he looks like a veteran now. And as he looked better, even though the numbers weren't as good last year as that second half of the season before, he looked a little more in command and all that last year. Well, he's more of that this year. And he looks, sounds, conducts himself like a veteran player, which he really didn't quite do last season.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. As you look back at yesterday's training camp, and really the last 2 days, we've seen pads come on. We've seen some physicality. You had the Nate Hobbs, Marshawn Lloyd play yesterday. You had the Rashid Walker play. Both of those plays have kind of taken up certainly some of the oxygen for what's been talked about in those two practices. What did you think of practice yesterday? I know Matt LaFleur was not very happy at the end of practice. We had that Rashid Walker, Kingsley Nagbare play. But what have you thought about the intensity and physicality of these last couple practices?
Yesterday I thought was a notch higher than the day before. There were a lot of bodies on the ground, which is, you know, they don't want that because that's how guys get hurt. But it just seemed like they were going at it a little harder. You know, a couple hot days in a row, I think tempers were flaring just a little more. I'd still say, you know, that skirmish with Walker and Enagbare, and I wanted to ask you something about that, you know, in a second here. But, you know, you compare it to training camps 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, you know, there would be days, there weren't fights every day, but there would be days where there, you know, there might be three or four actual fights where guys are kind of swinging at each other. I can't remember how long ago it was, Josh Sitton ended up, I can't remember if it was his own helmet or if he pulled the helmet off the other guy and he was swinging it at the guy. So this was still paling in comparison to stuff like that. But I thought it was a notch more physical. Did you actually, I didn't get a chance to talk to you. I didn't see exactly what happened. I saw that Walker and Enagbare were tangling. I didn't see any punches thrown, but I didn't see what set off LaFleur so much. And maybe it was something as simple as, you know, Walker pulling Enagbare to the ground after the play. I'm not sure exactly what happened there.
I think that's what it was. I did not see it specifically as well. I think it was Schneidman who had tweeted something to that effect of how it was that they were engaged. And then it was Enagbare who, you know, and it was after the play, Enagbare let go and kind of, you know, started to, you know, kind of de-escalate the situation. Rashid Walker did not, and then ended up kind of throwing him to the ground on the play, which it sounds like kind of escalated the entire situation, is what really got Matt upset. And then, of course, they had to run the laps and everything like that. But once again, I'm with you in the fact that I thought the intensity was higher, but outside of really these couple plays, and again, I think anything escalated to the level of, you know, a huge, you know, fight between both sides or people throwing a ton of punches or anything like that. Yeah, some moments, but I would put this mostly in the category of this is exactly what I would expect from competitive training camps, where you're just going to have a couple tempers get a little bit hot from time to time, but they go, you know, can go afterwards. And as Rashid Walker said, probably meet them in the cafeteria and, you know, just kind of clear the air with everything. I didn't think there was anything ultra egregious at any of these practices so far.
No, and really the closest it's come to that during LaFleur's time as coach is when they've practiced against other teams. You know, there's more of that. And it's always, you know, as they've said, it's always that second day. And that's why they're only, I know that's why the last couple of years, including this year, you know, they're only doing when they practice with another team. It's just a one-day thing because that second day things tend to get chippy and there's too many fights. And, you know, it kind of gets ridiculous sometimes where, you know, there'll be a fight like every third play for a stretch and it gets in the way of getting work done.
Yeah, certainly there were a couple of those, like you said, where that second day it was just it could have been an email because they couldn't even get plays in because there was just too much of like trying to calm people down and settle people. And then you finally get everything calmed down. And then, like you said, like three plays later, it's just it all escalated again. So, yeah, the one practice, probably a much better philosophy since that has sort of happened. All right, again, we're being joined by Pete Doherty, Packers writer and columnist for PackersNews.com. You can find him on social media at Pete Doherty. All right, I'd be remiss not to ask you, you know, we're 6 days in. You know, what have been just some of your key takeaways so far? Players, plays, intensity, themes, anything? I'll let you go in any direction that you want. What's kind of stood out to you through 6 days?
You know, one guy who's kind of quietly jumped out to me, and not saying that he's playing like a world beater or whatever, but Carrington Valentine's kind of jumped out at me. I know he had a rough day in one-on-ones against Golden yesterday, but, you know, he's just a guy who finds the ball. I think I'm not sure about this, but he really does kind of remind me of a young Tremont Williams. I mean, I think there are similarities there in their speed, in their athleticism. Tremont was like a 42-inch vertical, and this guy's 39. I don't know. I just think if I was the Packers going into camp, I'd have been really concerned about depth at corner, and there still is concern there, but they go at least three deep from what I can tell. Cause I think if there's an injury, there's just, you know, that they're fine with Valentine out there. I think he's a pretty solid player. And with the pads on, I keep talking about this guy in, like, I do chats every week during the season and nothing's happened with him so far, but I'm really intrigued by Hopper. And that's why I kind of wonder with the Quay Walker that they want to extend him, when I think they might have something in Hopper. You know, maybe they disagree or maybe they don't know yet. But with the pads on, he made a couple plays yesterday. He's a better player with the pads on. He's their most physical inside linebacker, I think, or off ball linebacker. So the last 2 days with the pads on, he's kind of jumped out at me. If you're looking for two guys who aren't, you know, frontline players.
I love that you brought up both these guys. I was asked early in the chat yesterday about Carrington Valentine and was excited to chat about him because I think he's got all the instincts on the outside in the world, and it's just him kind of trusting a little bit more. He's already come up with two interceptions. He was, you know, this close to coming up with two other ones through the first 6 days of camp. Could easily have four interceptions right now. He is willing and able to jump routes, see things before they happen, get to the ball, make plays, and it feels like he bulked up a little bit as well after maybe getting dribbled on the field by Dallas Goedert a season ago. It seems like he's playing with a little bit more physicality. And you mentioned those one-on-ones. Yeah, he got the one where Golden got him deep, but I thought even on the other two, I know there was one where I think he got maybe called for a hold or a pass interference on the play, and the other one, Golden technically came up with the catch, but I just loved his physicality at the line of scrimmage on those plays and how physical he was overall with Matthew Golden. Just seems like a different intensity from him. And I'm also with you on Hopper, where to me, you know, yesterday Hopper made multiple plays. He attacked that wide receiver screen on the outside in the live tackling drills, which basically broke up that play, had a tackle for loss, a pressure on Jordan Love that led to that Xavier McKinney interception. So now he's flashing big time as well. I'm so glad that you brought up both of those players because I think they've both had really impressive camps so far and hopefully can help Green Bay, not just this season, but moving forward as well. Pete, I cannot thank you enough. I know you probably want to get to writing that article, and of course, not having practice today, hopefully enjoy a little bit more rest and relaxation. But what do you got coming out over on PackersNews.com other than that Sterling Sharp article, and what can we plug for you on the way out here?
Yeah, just there's the Sharp column, and then for practice, I do the practice roundup each day. So that's just based on what happens on the practice field. So those will be Thursday, Friday, and then off family night. And then as the preseason goes on, Eric Bronchek and I, we do our film review the day after the preseason games, and we try to focus on, new guys, rookies, more obscure players, just to, give an indication of how they did in each of these games, or, if they're making any progress, if any of these undrafted guys have a chance to make the roster, things like that. So, that's some things to look at. And then, of course, PackersNews.com, we cover, we've got four people out there every day at practice. So we've got a lot of stories and a lot of videos for people to look at. So just drop by PackersNews.com.
Yeah, just a couple of shout outs real quick. If you're not, out there on PackersNews.com and subscribing, it is a Packers fan. I don't even know what you're doing at this point. I don't know how I would survive without it. It is unbelievable stuff. And the whole team over there does such an incredible job. But Pete in particular, for what I do, as you know, Pete, it's always tough to have, eyes on all the, 90 players that are out there practicing at any, given point in time. So I know for me, before I'm doing an episode, always going out there and checking your post notes article to make sure I didn't miss anything, or if we saw something different or anything like that. And obviously the chats on the sideline are super helpful as well. So appreciate you a ton. Keep doing what you're doing, and cannot thank you enough for all the hard work that you're putting in covering the Packers.
Well, thanks, Andy. And I got to tell you, it's always really fun talking Packers football with you. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I appreciate that a ton. We'll talk again soon, Pete. I'll see you at practice on Thursday. You enjoy the rest of your day. And like I said, we'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Sounds good, Andy. Take care.
I appreciate it. That is Pete Doherty. A huge thank you to him for joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Make sure to follow him on social media @Pete Doherty. We are going to be back with more Packaday Radio Show right after this. Don't go anywhere.